Hey guys, welcome to Electronic Dance Money, your number one business resource for making money as electronic musicians and producers. Yo, how's everyone doing? Welcome back to a brand new episode of Electronic Dance Money. I'm your host, Christian Casito. Let's get started with today's episode. We're going to be diving into some more fun marketing stuff because producers just don't do enough with marketing and apply it to themselves and their own music. And so we're going to be diving into ways that you can start to utilize your music and transform the tracks that you're writing into actual stories to tell in your marketing. And this goes with when you're making posts or developing content or you're wanting to run ads. It doesn't really matter what exactly you're doing with marketing or the avenue of marketing that you're going in. You need to learn how to tell stories with that marketing. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about the six different types of stories that you can tell in your marketing. And this really is going to help you get those new fans and get people to give a shit and get them to care. And we're going to be going over some of the different genres that are more influenced by the different types of stories where you can garner a better target audience through a specific type of story. Also, how there's kind of these sub audiences within these different stories that you tell, but they all branch out from the overall extending umbrella of whatever your genre is. So we're going to be getting into that and some examples of different artists and how they utilize these different types of storytelling to get more fans, get more popular, and sell more tickets and music and all that fun stuff. So let's jump right into it. And let's just first start off with this idea of what is storytelling and how can you derive storytelling from your art or your music into your marketing. Every song that you write, every song that you listen to pretty much has a story to tell through it. There's, depending on what it is, there might not be a direct story to it. One genre I can specifically look at where it's like, okay, there might not be a story to every single song. It'd be more directed towards like dubstep stuff, but there can be, depending on if there's lyrics or not. Pretty much any song that has lyrics has a story being told through it. And that can be the story that you tell through your marketing. But the story that you're telling could also be where you are at in the moment when you wrote that song, which might have drove you towards the reason for telling that specific story through your music. So every single song has a different story to tell or some sort of story. And we're going to tie that back into a specific story type if you don't have a story to tell or you don't know what the story is of your song, there are specific types of storytelling that you can fall back on where you don't need a clear outline. Like you don't need a very clear story that's being told. You can fall back on some other storylines that can help you funnel that marketing in and getting people to give a shit. So within each of those different stories to tell, so if we're understanding the basis that every song has some sort of story to tell, well, that means that each story is going to have a different type of audience. So think of it this way. In electronic music, you really have kind of the heads of genres. So, or again, you have the overall umbrella of genres. So you have electronic music or electronic dance music, which would be the overarching umbrella of all dance music. Every single genre that splits out from electronic music, it cascades out and it branches off like a big tree and turns into all these different genres. But immediately under that umbrella of electronic music, you've got some of the main genres themselves. You've got house music, which is different than trance. So trance and house would be their own specific genres. You've got bass music, which is another specific genre. And then under those genres, you have their subgenres. So within house, you have deep house, you've got bass house, you have progressive house, Within trance, you have epic trance, you have uplifting trance, hard trance, classic trance. There's a bunch of different subgenres of trance. Within bass music, you have a ton of subgenres that break out from that. Drum and bass, dubstep, rhythm, trap. You could arguably say hip hop, but that might be its own genre in and of itself. But I would kind of put that around the genre of bass music. So you can see how all these genres cascade and break out and they branch and they continue to branch further down. Audiences can act the exact same way. So if you're someone who produces, let's say you're a progressive house producer. So you produce the subgenre of house music, which is progressive house. So house sits under the overall umbrella of electronic music. And then under that, it breaks out into progressive house. And then you could potentially have some other genres break out from progressive house, but maybe not necessarily. It depends on if they derive directly from that genre. Those audiences are the same way. So you would have the general fan who likes electronic music, but that person might hate trance and love dubstep. So you can't really funnel them into that progressive house scene or just that house scene in general. So you have to find your audience who likes electronic music, who then likes house music, but what type of house music? Because deep house producers or tech house producers might not like progressive house. And so you need to break out and find the specific audience of progressive house. So now you can see how we're starting to niche down and really define who the hell our audience is. And once we find out who our exact audience is, now we can define who is wanting to listen to a specific song even further. Now, granted, most of your fans are the target audience that you're going for. If you just land on progressive house, you can market the hell to progressive house fans and actually get those fans and get them to relatively give a shit or be at least be interested. But each song, like I was saying before, they all tell different stories. And within those different stories, you have different audiences. Even if they all fall under that one umbrella of progressive house, each individual person has gone through different things in their lives, or they're currently going through different things in their lives where they're going to resonate to specific stories more than other people. So that's where you're going to really capture those super fans. If you're marketing a story and it speaks to a person who has either experienced the same thing that you're experiencing or have experienced or they have experienced, you're going to get them way more interested. You're going to get them to care. You're going to get them to share, and you're going to get them to become a super fan where they're going to continue to support you and eventually want to buy something from you or go see you at a show, or it doesn't matter what it is. But within this subgenre of progressive house fans, you're going to have different stories that you tell to specific people. Again, all of the progressive house fans will probably be interested in your music. Most of them will be if it's good music and they enjoy it. But if you're marketing a specific story that's told with a specific song, you're going to narrow that audience even down even further. So your audience that you're really targeting is going to get smaller, but those people are going to become, remember, we want those super fans. Those are the ones who are really going to support us. They're going to share our music. They're going to spread the word, you know, word of mouth advertising for us, basically for free. Well, unless you're doing paid advertising or you're paying with your time. So it's not technically free, but it doesn't matter because they're going to be working for us passively in the background. We're going to more than double what we make off of the marketing or ad spend that we spend if we get a super fan who goes and tells 10 people about you and starts playing your music to those people constantly, because then they're going to become fans. And then it'll just branch out from there. Those 10 people will tell 10 people. Now you've got basically from one person, you could get over 100 fans if you're telling the right story to that person. So why are we talking about this specifically? Well, in order for us to tell the right story, we first need to define our audience. So we've defined it to these progressive house fans, but now we need to define our message. And this is where we're looking at, well, how are we feeling right now? How did we feel when we wrote the song? Maybe talk to the vocalist, if you have a vocalist, and talk to them about what their story is about. A lot of the times it's going to be about heartbreak, and most people can relate to that, which is a positive. Heartbreak is going to get you a lot more fans that are a lot more interested, because it's something almost everyone's gone through. So we have to first define our audience, then we can define our message, then we can start to decide what kind of story we want to tell and start constructing all of our content or our advertising or whatever it is that we're doing for our promo and marketing. We can start to tie a story to that. Let's get into the different types of stories we can tell and the examples within those different story types. Number one, which in my opinion is going to be like one of the most valuable stories to tell, if you can do it right, you're going to probably reach the most people and get the best fans possible, is going to be comedy writing. So storytelling through comedy. And there's so many great instances of comedy storytelling in music marketing. A couple of the best people I can point to is going to be Getter and Dylan Francis. So that's under, I mean, that's under kind of, you know, with Dylan Francis, that's under the house and maybe you could argue bass music scene, because Dylan Francis has done some bass stuff in the past. But then Getter as well. Go look at any in Getter in the past, especially on, I think it was Vine. He did a bunch of Vine stuff, maybe even some YouTube. Yeah, he did some YouTube stuff. But go look up Getter's videos. I mean, they're hilarious and it's so well done. And and he doesn't even necessarily, the content he's creating, and same with Dylan Francis as well. We're going to get into another producer who actually directly does comedy marketing for his music. But a lot of what like Dylan Francis and Getter are doing is doing funny comedy videos on the side, attracting an audience, and then promoting what they actually do for their main gig, which would be DJing and producing, and it pulls people into that. So they're getting people to like them and relate to them and be entertaining for them. A lot of the fans you may even get through comedy videos, and I'm sure some of the comedy videos they've done, especially with Getter, probably weren't interested in electronic music. A lot of the fans that Getter attracted probably weren't interested in dubstep, but because they like him and because they like the videos he did, they then become attracted to the thing that he does and become more interested in it, and they convert into fans. So if you can get into some sort of comedy video create, it's got, I mean, comedy is subjective, but if you look at Getter and Dylan Francis's videos, their comedy is a bit specific and targeted to a specific audience, which is kind of like the frat bro males of the world. I think they're fucking hilarious, but it's done right. It's done very, very well, and it attracts a specific audience, and that audience then converts into becoming an actual fan of their music and coming and supporting them when they're playing shows. Now, another specific producer we can point to, who's not even in the bass scene, but in the house music scene, would be Salvatore Ganacci. Salvatore is really fucking good at creating hilarious comedy videos that are all directed towards his music. All of his music videos are funny as shit. His stage presence is funny as hell, and it's there to create content with later. He does a bunch of TikTok videos that are hilarious and all related to his music. So you can see how he directly ties his character of Salvatore to these comedy videos and his music. It all pulls together into just a fantastic character that you can create hilarious storylines through and tell fantastic stories that people are attracted to, get pulled in, and want to keep watching more, want to follow, and eventually support. Everyone in the house music scene knows who he is for the most part, and most people enjoy what he does, because again, comedy is, it is subjective, but with the targeting the right type of comedy to the right audience, you're gonna attract those fans very easily. Now, I want to branch off here too and continue talking about comedy, because again, comedy is going to be the one thing that I think it's going to be the one story line that we talk about the most, just because there's a lot of gold there with comedy that you can do that a lot of people don't apply. But a couple of my clients, and Mike, who was just on the podcast a few weeks ago, him and another client of mine, Andy, are writing a collaboration track, and they're working on some marketing stuff. And they came to me and had this idea of hiring Roger Clark, who played Arthur Morgan in Red Dead Redemption 2. So those of you who don't play video games, you don't know what Red Dead Redemption is. Red Dead Redemption is a game that's created by Rockstar, the same people who created Grand Theft Auto, and it's essentially a Western Grand Theft Auto. So it's all based in the 1800s, and you play in Red Dead Redemption 2, which came out in 2018. You play Arthur Morgan as the main character, and there's a lot of hilarious memes that came out of the game, came out of some mod videos that people did. And so they had this idea of hiring him through Cameo to essentially shout out the track that's being released. And I thought it was funny. I thought it was a really good idea. It was really creative. But I started thinking about it a little bit more, and I was like, how can you, there's a way to make this better. Yes, one video is good, but there needs to be, it's only one video. There's only so much you can do with that. Already so many people just get one cameo and send it out, and like nothing really happens with it. So I started thinking, I was like, well, one, what you could do is you could have Arthur from one, there's a mission in the game where you go out as Arthur with one of your friends that's in this gang named Lenny, and you go out to the bar and get really drunk together, and the whole mission, you get just completely fucked up, and it's playing all these hilarious video cuts. And then you start playing as Arthur, really drunk, hallucinating around the bar, shouting for Lenny and looking for him because he lost him. And everyone you run into looks like Lenny, dressed up as a different character. There's women that look like Lenny. It's hilarious. And so I was like, why don't you have him yelling for Lenny and asking where he is and letting Lenny know that the track is being released? I thought that would be a funny thing to do. It's on the nose. It plays into this meme. It might actually get some good traction. But again, I was thinking there needs to be more substance. So this is going to be a spoiler. At the very end of the game, Arthur gets betrayed by another guy in the gang called Micah, and the leader of the gang, Dutch. And so at the very end of the game, there's this like basically Mexican standoff where they're all three together on the cliffside of this mountain, and Arthur's about to die, and he's trying to convince Dutch that Micah sold them out to the cops and that he's a rat. And so I had this idea, why don't you hire all three of those actors to do a cameo where there's a legit storyline based off of the game? Now, again, it's going to be a little bit more on the nose. This might not be the right target audience to do that either, because I think they're working in house music. A better genre would probably be around the dubstep genre or the bass genre, but it could still potentially work. And so I told them, hire Micah and have him announce the release date of the track. And then you can have hire Arthur and have him talking to Dutch, talking about how Micah is a rat, and announce the release date. And then you can have Dutch, who, you know, a big meme out of the entire game is Dutch is kind of going crazy, and he's trying to set up one last job through the entire game to do a bank robbery, and they're all going to sail off to Tahiti and live a vacation for the rest of their life. But every job goes wrong, and he wants to do one more job. So I was like, hire Dutch and have him talk about how this is all a part of the plan and they just need one more job and it's this track or whatever. Just some sort of storyline like that. So you have three continuous videos that you can release over a set period of time that's telling a full story. And again, it's on the nose, so those who know about Red Dead will get it and they'll love it. But those, again, it's a little more niche down, but if you get three or four fans that understand that and think it's fucking hilarious, you're probably going to get super fans out of that. They're going to follow you. They're going to comment on stuff. They're going to be a lot more interested. And so, and again, it's three pieces of content that you can add to your promo plan for your pre-release. And you could have, you know, the first two videos are your pre-release. Maybe the Micah video is the first video. And then right before the release is Arthur's video. And then after the release is Dutch's video. So you could have this be a part of a full promo plan that works out, and it's a full story that's told. So these are some examples of comedy writing, comedy storytelling that I see is severely underutilized, but these are all great examples of how you can use this in your marketing plan to really get those super fans. The next type of story we could tell is a tragedy story. And a tragedy story could be anything that could be tragic to you, but some of the most common ones would be breakup or a death. More times than not, you're going to see breakup. That's in almost every genre you're going to see that in. You know, you'll see it in drum and bass, house music. You'll see it in bass music. You'll see it in a lot of trance. A lot of Armin van Buuren's tracks are set up this way. Same with the music videos. Same with Tritonal. There's a lot of house artists that do this. And breakup is a really good one to use and translate into some sort of story that you tell. Now, it's best used in a music video. And what more is a music video other than just marketing the song itself with a visual representation to it? You can clip that up and turn that into a bunch of different pieces of content and tell a story through that. You could use that cut up music video as pre-release content that you're promoting the release through and having a story being told through those pieces of clips. And then eventually the full story comes out with a music video. This is one of the most widely used storylines, but it works. If you catch someone in the middle of a breakup and they hear your song and they relate to the story that you're telling, a lot of those people become super fans that return 10 years later. I mean, there's songs that I was listening to during rough breakups that still to this day I go listen to full albums that I was listening to back then, and brings back a lot of nostalgia. And I think nostalgia is good, whether it's a tragic nostalgia or not. There's still, you know, there's still like a melancholy feel to that nostalgia that people really love and they're attracted to. So using that and trying to get those super fans who are going to return later is really valuable way to do that. Dash Berlin has a lot of music like that. There's another specific Dash Berlin track that I can think in general that it wasn't marketed very well in terms of the storyline, but you can see how you could create a storyline through it, especially in a music video. But a lot of tragedies are marketed through visual representation and music videos. Death, again, is another one. You'll see that one in trance, house, drum and bass. It's not as represented as breakup, but a lot of songs that could be interpreted about a breakup or could actually be about death. And then the third one is going to be rags to riches. And this could be tied in. A lot of rags to riches stuff could also be somewhat tied in to comedy. But, you know, rags to riches is going to be similar to like Started from the Bottom by Drake. Again, that's hip hop. But you can see how anyone who's got hip hop in a track, and this kind of is more specific to bass music, sometimes some bass house, you're going to see some rags to riches storylines. And you could, again, represent a lot of those in clips and video. I think video is going to be related a lot in this, but it could potentially be inspirational if you do it properly. Another potential example of a rags to riches story would be Predator by Dyro and Dope DOD. Super aggressive song, so if you don't like aggressive music, you might not like it, but that's a good example. And I mean, it's probably in the bass music scene, but it's got a hip-hop verse through the entire track. And that might also be, that storyline might be a little bit, might be a better example of another storyline, which would be a Destroying the Monster. It's kind of a combination of Destroying the Monster and Rags to Riches. So Destroying the Monster is basically a storyline that's against all odds, you were able to overcome what stood in your way. And this can be represented in just about any genre. And this is where the real inspirational stuff comes into play. And so if you can make it inspirational and not cheesy, you can then use this story to do all sorts of different marketing. That's not just video-based, but very inspirational posts that people can relate to. Again, we're getting very specific on some things. You know, sometimes it can feel a little bit cheesy and corny by doing the inspirational stuff, but it can work. It especially works in email marketing, where you can get a little bit more personal without getting any backlash on social media from any assholes, because you're almost speaking personally directly to someone. So using the destroying the monster storyline in email marketing is a fantastic way to relate to people, to get people interested in what you're doing, and get them to understand who you are as a person a lot better. Again, any genre can be this way, but I would say Predator is probably a mix between the rags to riches and Destroying the Monster based off of some of the lyrics that are done in that. And so you can, you can utilize probably a lot of hip hop stuff is going to be Rags to Riches and Destroying the Monster. Now, a sub storyline, or maybe not even a separate storyline, but is directly related to Destroying the Monster, would be a quest storyline. So a goal you're working towards. Almost everyone can relate to this. This is going to come straight out of Show Your Work by Austin Kleon. That book is a sequel to Steal Like an Artist. And Show Your Work is really all about sharing your wins, sharing your process and your progress. And so you can use the quest storyline as a means to the releasing of your music. So if you're in between releases, using quest storyline marketing can be all about what you're working on currently and what you're building towards. And again, this can also all be very inspirational. And this works with any genre. This works with any type of art, the quest storyline. And eventually the quest storyline leads to Destroying the Monster, right? It leads to the Destroying the Monster storyline. So you can have this quest storyline that leads directly into the next storyline, which would be Destroying the Monster. And so now you've got like a full long form story going on, and anyone involved in that is going to be very interested in potentially seeing how the whole story unfolds. Storytelling is a very powerful thing. There's a reason why we tell stories, and we have since the dawn of man. It's to share messages of either how to protect yourself or understanding the human nature, but it's also used for inspirational instances. Storytelling is extremely powerful, and every single person loves a good story. Whether it's good or bad, people love a good story. There's a reason why a lot of people love murder porn stuff, right? Love Dateline, because they love a good story, even if it's as tragic as someone being murdered. They want to hear the story. So storytelling is extremely powerful and very underutilized. Now, the last storyline that we're going to talk about is redemption. Redemption is essentially the storyline of, again, this can be very inspirational, but it's about how you were knocked down and you were able to stand back up. This can be directly related to Destroying the Monster, but this can also be related to the quest storyline. So the biggest thing about quest storyline is that there is no end to the quest. Like, when you're telling a story, you don't know what the end is. So there's a bit of a cliffhanger there. When you destroy the monster, you went on a quest, you overcame that quest, and now you overcame the monster that stood in the way, and now you've won. A quest storyline could be you facing that monster but losing, and so the only storyline after that would be a redemption storyline of how you redeemed yourself to come back. Again, this can be directly related to inspirational stuff. But a lot of people like to see this if maybe you fell off and stopped producing and stopped writing for a little while and you decide to come back. The fans that you garnered in the past are going to love that redemption story, especially if you jump in deep and you're even better than you were before. A lot of times people love that. So redemption stories can be fantastic. They can be extreme. A lot of people can relate to that stuff. It's done very well in email marketing. And a lot of content as well, social media content. So those are the six different types of storylines that you could follow, that you could start using in your marketing. However, once you're finished with figuring out what your storyline is, how you're going to create content, there needs to be some calls to action involved in those storylines. Don't forget that. Remember, calls to action are everything. If you're telling a story but not telling people what to do, then there's no next step. You need to give them something else to do. And you have to figure out what you want your call to action to be. This could be anything from getting people to sign up for an email list and you're going to give them something, to having people go stream your track, to having people engage with your own content. It doesn't matter what the call to action needs to be. There just needs to be some sort of call to action. If you're trying to relate to people, ask them to comment their story or whatever, like something, get them engaged. A call to action can be as simple as that. You don't need to collect an email every time or send them to a different website. You could just get them to engage. That engagement is how you're going. And you need to return the engagement as well. Don't forget, people are commenting on your stuff. Comment back, get them engaged, be engaged with them. They'll continue to be engaged with you. Make them feel heard. So Figure out what you want your call to action to be in each one of these story pieces and start pushing that. That's it for today's episode, guys. You can go to enviousaudio.com/episode82 to check out the show notes. There won't be much in the show notes, but I'll mention some of the tracks that I talked about here and throw those in. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll talk to you guys later. Take care.